بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, in the mornings we have been discussing the sublime conduct, the beautiful qualities and characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have heard the hadith many a time before. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was asked about the conduct, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And her reply was, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His conduct, his character, his qualities were an embodiment of the Holy Qur'an. And then by means of explanation, she then quotes the opening verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun, which we heard in tonight's Taraweeh Salah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of those who have true iman. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, indeed, certainly, those people who have true iman, who have correct iman, أَفْلَحَ. This word, al-falah, refers to success, but not just one specific type of success. Rather, Allah is telling us, those who have true iman, correct iman, and they are those who have the following qualities and characteristics within them, then aflaha, they are successful in every aspect of their life. In dunya, they will be successful. As far as their interactions with people, they will be successful. As far as their taqwa, their iman is concerned, they will be successful. And most importantly, on the day of qiyamah, in the akhirah, they will be successful. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That person who will be turned away from the fire of Jahannam, and he will gain admittance into Jannah, then he is the successful person. So here Allah is giving us the recipe for success, and what ulama have explained is the basic level of iman, what we can perhaps term as the starter pack of iman, the bare minimum. A person has to have these qualities, six different attributes or characteristics will be mentioned here, for a person's iman to be regarded as complete, as true, as correct. So the first characteristic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have khushu, we keep on hearing these terms, khushu, khudu, concentration, devotion in salah. In other words, very simply, what does this mean? Is that a person's salah is not just a shell with nothing inside, that it's just the motions going up and down. He comes to the masjid, he barely remembers how many rakats he read. He can't even remember what the imams have read for the salah. But rather there is some life, some ruh, some spirit within his salah. He feels that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we read the stories and we hear about the salah of the pious predecessors, what levels of concentration and devotion, how many hours they would stand in nafil salah. This may seem very far away for you and I, but ulama explain one simple method that we can follow, or rather one simple thing that we can bring into our lives. They say at least one sajda in one salah of the day. At least one sajda. How many salahs we are reading? Our sunnahs, nafil, fard salah. Now in Ramadan, the taraweeh salah, our witr salah. At least one sajda, just prolong it a little bit. Just a few seconds extra. If you are normally used to reading three tasbihat, make it five, seven, nine. Whatever it may be, just a few seconds extra and feel that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's our fajr salah, zuhar salah, isha salah, wherever it is. But just prolong that one sajda and feel that connection, that now I am before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. The closest that a person can be to Allah is while his forehead is down on the ground in sajda. So this is the beginning. The person gets some sort of feeling within his salah. And then of course we can build on this. Eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person to that position where every salah becomes like this, where he feels that connection, that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first attribute, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have concentration, devotion within their salah. Secondly, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who turn away and abandon all futility. We heard this morning also Marana explained, when it comes to futile talk, futile activities, those things in which there is no benefit for my deen, nor for my dunya. If a person is doing something that is beneficial for his dunya, something to do with his business or whatever else it may be, this is fine, this is allowed, there's no issue with this. But something that has absolutely no benefit, we find many a times people follow sports or they are watching some soccer match or whatever it may be, and the answer that is given is, I'm doing this to relax, to cool down after a long day at work or a hectic week. Now this is my cool down period on the weekend. But we know how many a times a person becomes so passionate about it, and rather than cooling him down, it heats him up. Then there's arguments, there's fights, because my team won, your team lost. So those who abandon all things of futility, those things in which there is no benefit, we should ask ourselves this question. Before we do any action, is it going to benefit my deen, or is it going to benefit my dunya? If there's no benefit for neither my deen nor dunya, then I should abandon this action, leave it aside, and don't get involved in it. So, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Thirdly, والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون, those who are habitual in discharging their zakat. And this we have heard many different bayans and advices regarding zakat, especially now in the month of Ramadan. So they take special care to discharge their zakat on time, then the calculation is correct. And together with this, a very important aspect, the recipient also must be correct. Speak to the ulama-i-kiram, find out that those who I am giving my zakat to, are they valid zakat recipients or not? So those who are, they take care when it comes to their zakat. Fourthly, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, those who protect and guard their chastity. And this is a very important aspect. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would say, perhaps one of the greatest barriers that is there between a person and reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this, when it comes to the protection of his chastity and specifically the protection of his gaze and his thoughts. The person looks at haram and in this way the mind becomes completely infatuated, and then eventually shaitan uses this as the basis to then take a person towards the act of zina. Allah protect us. So one is when it comes to the actual act of zina, but together with that, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, al-aynani tazniyan, that every single part of the body has the capability of committing zina. Of course, we're not talking about the actual act of zina. But then he explains, the eyes commit zina when they cast that lustful glance. The feet commit zina when they walk towards a haram woman or some illicit relationship, they take a person towards this. Likewise, the other parts of the body also commit zina. So here Allah says, these people protect, they guard their chastity. We find when it comes to the different aspects that Allah has made haram in this world, when it comes to consuming alcohol or drinking wine, Allah says don't do it. When it comes to riba, interest, Allah says don't get involved in interest. But when it comes to zina, when it comes to this aspect of fornication, adultery, then here Allah says la taqrabu, don't go close to it. Leave alone, don't do the action, don't even go close to it. That's why we find many different laws of Shariat also. When it comes to intermingling between men and women, not permissible. When it comes to speaking to some strange na-mahram of the opposite gender, Allah says not permissible. When it comes to remaining in seclusion with somebody who is not your mahram, not permissible. Why? To completely close that door, that a person doesn't even go close to zina. So those who guard and protect their chastity, إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أُمَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Of course, when it comes to fulfilling their desires, Allah has created the outlet. When Allah has given us halal spouses, أُمَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُهُمْ, in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a person would own slave girls. So when it comes to these avenues that Allah has made lawful and permissible, فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ, Allah says there is no blame upon these people. This is the avenue that Allah has created. But فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ, anyone who seeks to fulfill his desires elsewhere, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, Allah says they are undoubtedly transgressing, they are going beyond the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the fourth aspect, is that they guard their chastity. Fifthly, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, those who, when it comes to trust, something which has been entrusted to them, then they give back, they repay their trust, and when they make any promises, then they fulfill their promises. In other words, they are upright individuals, people can trust them, people can have reliance upon them. And finally, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, the sixth attribute, once again Allah speaks about salah, those who make muhafaza. And here ulama say, either this is an emphasis of the first quality, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, or two different aspects are spoken about. The first verse Allah speaks about the inner aspect of salah, when it comes to a person's concentration, his devotion. And here Allah is speaking about those who read their salah on time. عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, they ensure that every salah is performed in the correct time. Now for us as men, Allah has made it very easy for us. We have the masajid. A person takes it upon himself to read his salah in the masjid, then his salah will be performed on time. He won't miss his salah and he won't delay his salah. But very important when it comes to the masturat, or women folk at home, that they have to also be extremely careful and particular with regard to performing salah on time. We find many a times, unfortunately, sometimes even in the month of Ramadan, asr salah becomes delayed. Sometimes it goes into makruh time. When it comes to fajr salah, zohar salah, many a times women are busy in the kitchen, or they're busy with the children, whatever it may be. And the zohar salah is at 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30. So this is not correct. Here Allah is saying, عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, the salah is performed in the correct time. For the women folk also, the guideline ulama have given, they should perform the salah on the awwal waqt. As soon as the time comes in, as far as possible, of course they have their duties, responsibilities, but as far as possible, that salah should be performed during the first time, as soon as the time comes in. So these six attributes, and then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, Those who will bring these attributes within their life, in other words, they will have true and correct iman, they will be the ones who will inherit, what will they inherit? Al-Firdaus. The gardens of Jannatul Firdaus. And unlike an heir in this dunya, in this world, if somebody becomes an heir, he inherits something. In a few years' time, he will also have to give it over to the next person. He will leave this world, somebody else will inherit from him. But here, they will inherit Jannatul Firdaus in such a way, hum fiha khalidun, that they will remain forever and forever in these gardens. So this is the starter pack, the very basic level of iman, that which a person cannot do without. And then a few verses later, or a few pages later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what we can perhaps term as the first class iman. Those people who will be the forerunners. Those who will have closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So an additional four qualities are mentioned here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those who remain fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they do, whatever they say, they always have that khashyat, that fear, that apprehension that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not punish me, I must not go wrong. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Secondly, those who believe in the signs of their Rabb. When they see things happening around them, they understand this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's goodness, there's conditions of prosperity, then this is a sign of the qudrat, the power of Allah. And when there's difficulty, adversity, then they take this as a wake-up call, a reminder from Allah. Thirdly, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. Those who do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be in worship, that they do not worship anything besides Allah. Together with this, when it comes to their ibadat, their actions, they do everything only for Allah. They are not doing things for name and fame to show people. A person doesn't give charity so that he is known as a charitable person. But he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To alleviate poverty, to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. So in every action of theirs, they do not associate partners with Allah. And finally, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Whatever actions they do, they remain with this concern that we are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My actions must be accepted in the court of Allah. And this is the most important thing. Throughout the month of Ramadan, in fact throughout our entire lives, whatever a'mal, whatever actions a person is doing, whether a person is reading one page of Quran or he's reading khatam upon khatam, we must have this concern, this worry within our hearts, that is Allah going to accept it or not? Whether my actions are worthy of being presented in Allah's court, and even if it is not worthy, but Allah is Kareem, Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, but I must have that concern that, oh Allah, you must accept my actions. You must make me maqbool indak, in your court, I must be accepted. This is the main thing. Our actions are not accepted. A person's entire life can be spent in what he thinks is the obedience of Allah. How many ahadith we find? But he comes in the court of Allah, and Allah says, everything is rejected. Allah protect us. This should not be the case. So these additional four qualities, Allah then says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. These are the ones who are the forerunners when it comes to goodness. One last point that we'll mention is that when we read these qualities, these characteristics, for a person like myself, we feel that we are still stuck on the first quality. When it comes to our salah, what is the condition of my salah? Do I even have concentration? Are my postures correct? Is my recitation correct? So where am I going to bring all of these attributes within my life? The short life Allah has given us, first those six qualities which are the bare minimum of iman, and then these four attributes that Allah says will make you a forerunner when it comes to goodness. So a person, sometimes this thought will go through the mind that where am I ever going to bring this within my life? So here Allah says, وَلَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. Remember that we will never burden a soul beyond its capacity. We will never command you to do something that you are incapable of doing. Here the ulama have mentioned a technical point is that in this dunya, a person who is a person of intelligence and wisdom, then he will not give a command to someone to do something that he is unable to do. So an intelligent person won't say to a two-year-old child, carry this heavy parcel. Because he knows the child can't do it. It doesn't make sense. We'll say this person is not intelligent. If you're asking the child to do this, then you're not intelligent. An intelligent person will command you to do what is within your capability. Allah is the most intelligent, most wise. Allah's knowledge, nobody has knowledge like Allah. So ulama have explained when Allah gives us a command, when Allah tells us to do something, this means Allah is also saying you can do it. You have the ability, you have the capability, you just need to put your head down and make an effort. وَلَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا. We will never burden a soul beyond its capacity. In other words, Allah is saying you have the ability to bring these attributes within your life. Although you may stumble, you may fall down, ulama have given the example how many times a small child who is learning how to walk, he doesn't just wake up one day and start walking and running. He makes an effort, he falls down 100 times. He may get hurt also, but he continues to make the effort until one day he's not just walking, but he's running and sprinting. So like this, Allah is telling us, you can do it. We have given you that ability. Just make that effort. Now is the best time, the month of Ramadan. Go over these attributes, these qualities. See where I am falling short. And see how I can make some effort to bring them within my life. Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.